Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are excited to be on the air today with you. As always, looking forward to the next couple hours of sharing the Word of God with you and on a practical basis for your daily life. That's what this show is all about. We always have a couple guests. We have a radio team that's several people, along with me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, and the other people. And we just want to let you know today that God loves you. And, you know, I think we all need to be reminded of that from time to time. Our lives are busy and hectic. We have a lot going on. We all do. And I think it's easy to get caught up in our daily lives, our daily grind. And sometimes we don't take much time for God and for His Word. And this show is all about the importance of your personal relationship with God. I know that a lot of people would say, you know, I'm too busy. You have no idea, Pastor, what kind of life I have and how I'm running here and I'm running there. And I can say, I agree with you. You know, I'm a full-time realtor and have been for 23 years, along with pastoring for 20-some years. And I tell you, it's hard to do everything. Also being a mother and a grandmother, and now a great-grandmother, so that's pretty cool, too. I've got my hands full, it seems. But, you know, the most important thing in our lives is that personal relationship with God, because He's the one that we answer to. He's the one that we will face when we leave this world. And to doubt.
To think, you know, to kind of roll it over in your head and maybe come up with an excuse.
Right.
You know.
Right.
That's why I think that's obedience is swift.
I agree. It is. It is. And I've heard it said for many years, Satan rushes and God leads. So sometimes Satan can rush us into bad decisions that really aren't God, just so we'll make a mistake, you know. And in this case, it's okay. The Gideon slowed down and he said, okay, give me some confirmations.
Yeah.
Okay. I want some confirmations. But then when he knew that he knew that he knew that he had heard from God, then he was able to move forward. Nathan, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Pastor?
Good. We're talking about this Gideon guy, you know, that we talked about, today in Judges chapter 7. We were just talking about how easy it is when we know that God's told us something to drag our heels. And during that time, the devil has opportunity to tell us, are you sure you heard from God? It's back to that thing with Adam and Eve, Pastor Jim, that you say all the time.
Did God really say?
Did God really say? You know?
No, really.
You know how the devil tries to do that, Nathan?
Yes,
you know?
I do. Yes, I do.
And so we're talking about Gideon's humanity, and I know that you probably heard the first part of this, but don't you think it's pretty cool that God said, sure, I'll give you some sign. I'll give you a sign, and then Gideon says, okay, can I trouble you for one more?
Mm-hmm.
And God says, sure, you know? And how does that apply in your life, Nathan? I mean, there are times that we need to hear from God, and we need confirmations, don't we?
Yes, we do. Sometimes, there are many times in my life I've needed confirmation.
Yeah. And He's so good to give it to us. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I believe I've heard from God, and sometimes I haven't. I heard from the devil.
Right.
And he's trying to mislead me.
Well, you know, one of the tests, and I love Colossians 3, 12 to 15. It says, let peace, in the Amplified Bible, let peace be your umpire. Mm-hmm. Settling with all finality those issues that concern you. And you know how much I love baseball. So I love the fact that Paul uses that term, the umpire. So because the umpire decides the balls and strikes, it's nobody else's decision. The batter can argue all day long, but in Major League Baseball, you cannot argue balls and strikes. Okay. The umpire says that's a strike. You go with that. Okay.
That's right.
So often we do not let peace be our umpire. We allow ourselves to get agitated and disturbed, and we talk to too many people. I have been recently talking to less and less people. You know what I'm saying, Nathan?
No, yes, I do.
Why? Why do we sometimes get in trouble talking to too many people?
Because everybody has an opinion.
It's true, isn't it?
Yes,
I mean, really, you don't see here that Gideon sat down with his whole family and had a talk about any of this.
He didn't call in elders.
He did not.
No, he didn't.
He heard from God. And when he did, then he started acting on what he heard. Now, we know in this story, in Judges 6 and 7, that Gideon calls, he takes in chapter 6, verse 33, 34, he blew the ram's horn trumpet, and the soldiers started showing up for battle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pastor Jim, comment on that, because the trumpet, and we mentioned it this morning, how important the trumpet is in the Bible.
Oh, very important. For one thing, especially in the Old Testament, the trumpet would sound the call to worship. It would sound the alarm for, when they were in the wilderness, it would be the alarm to break camp or set up camp.
Okay.
It was also the alarm to call an assembly. In this case, that's what it was used for, an assembly to gather the warriors together.
Right.
And of course, in the end, it'll be the trumpet of God that plays at the resurrection.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And you know, now in our society, we use that trumpet. For instance, when a fallen soldier in the United States in a military burial, they play taps. Mm-hmm. You know, they use the trumpet. They don't use any other instrument, you know. So the trumpet is very important in this story about Gideon. It's also important in call. It's like a call to something, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it was used to call, blow the trumpet in Zion.
Right.
From Joel.
Yeah.
Sound the alarm on my holy mountain.
Sure.
It's that sort of thing where it's sounding an alarm. It's calling everybody together. I mean, in Joel, it was to call people to repentance. Here in Judges, it's to call the soldiers out to fight the Midianites.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a call to repentance, a call to spiritual warfare.
Musically, the musical instrument, the trumpet, Nathan, is there anything that you want to add about that instrument in particular that is pertinent here?
Well, trumpet definitely pulls your attention.
Uh-huh.
It definitely does that.
Yeah. There's that, it's, and it's interesting, and one trumpet is playing, everybody rallies. I mean, there's something that happens there with the trumpet sound more than any other instrument, I think.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
So Gideon goes through Israel and he starts using the trumpet, and people hear it and they realize, okay, we got to go to battle. So he starts calling the soldiers in with the trumpet. Okay. And, immediately in chapter 7 of Judges, we find that Gideon is blessed to have 32,000 soldiers show up. Pastor Jim, now that's impressive.
That's impressive.
Woo! I'd love to have 32,000 people show up for a Bible study or a church service, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you?
If I had room.
Yeah, 32,000.
I know, that's pretty amazing, because I don't know how many Midianites there were, but it does say they covered the ground like grasshoppers. So there was a ton of them.
In fact, it says their camels were so many, it was like locusts. They couldn't count them.
Yeah. And so we know that there were a lot of them, but 32,000 armed soldiers.
Yes.
That's a lot.
A lot.
And in this case, it was too much.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So all of a sudden, here they are. And in verse 2 of Judges 7, God says to Gideon, "You have too large an army with you. I can't turn Midian over to you like this, because your soldiers are going to think that they did it. They're going to take credit for it." I love this about God. He always wants the glory for himself.
Well, he's God. He's probably the only one that should get it.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
That is exactly right. And we, as human beings, tend to want to get the glory for ourselves.
Well, yeah, think of, again, going back to the garden.
Right.
"If you eat this fruit," said the serpent, "you'll be like God."
Yeah.
Knowing good from evil.
That's,
we want to do it on our own. That's been it since the garden. We wanted to do it on our own. The Tower of Babel.
Right.
Okay, that was a man's effort to reach heaven.
Exactly.
That's plain and simple, that's what that was.
Right.
You know, we've always wanted to do it on our own. And I think that's sometimes why it's so hard for people to accept salvation.
Right.
Because you don't have to do anything on your own.
Right.
You just accept what God's already done.
Free
and
gifts.
That, yeah, and that can be really hard. We're not used to...
That's why you have people argue over works. You know what I'm saying?
We're saved to do good works.
Right.
We're never saved by works. But once we get saved, we're saved in order to do good works. And, you know, I think, you know, somebody invites you out to dinner. Well, yeah, it's a nice thing. I mean, it's a gift. I'll pay for your dinner. Don't you always feel obligated then to buy them a dinner?
Right, sure.
And, you know, sometimes I think we warp that into, okay, I got to do my best. I have to do this.
Right.
In order to please God. No, because that just leads to despair.
Right.
And I think on the other hand, then we try and do it on our own just so we can take that glory. Well, look what I've done.
Right.
You know, I've controlled my temper until you cross me in the least little way. you know, I've seen that happen. People,
see how nice I am.
Yeah, to you because you're nice to me. But I've known people, and I'm sure we all have, who do that. Who,
right.
You know, oh, I'm I did this. Well,
right.
Okay, bully for you.
Yeah.
But
right.
You know?
So, you know what, God is, in this story of Gideon, I love the fact that God is trying to teach some real principles here that pertain to us today. These are not just for that time when this happened. This is for us today. Mm-hmm. So often, we think that bigger, better, whatever, is exactly how we're going to influence more.
Well, wouldn't you feel more comfortable... If you were going to war and you had a huge army behind you,
32,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, yeah. I mean, yeah. I like to play these. I play a game on my phone, not at work, but I do play a game on my phone where you have to build up an army and,
right.
You know, and I'm thinking you know, I got a pretty decent army at about 400 now, but that's the only way to survive when somebody attacks. You have to equal their power.
Right.
And in our human mind, that's what we think. On a human level, I have to have at least equal their power. And we're going to see here, I know, with Gideon, that's not how God thinks.
God didn't think that way at all. Nathan, you want to comment on that? Because I find this fascinating, too. I really do.
Well, God's ways are hardly ever our ways.
That's the truth, isn't it?
I mean, our best idea is a fall short of God's plan for our life.
Right.
Or God's way of doing things. And, you know, that's all I'll say about that.
Okay. Well, that's exactly right. So let's go back to Gideon here. God says to Gideon in Judges chapter 7 about verse 2, you have too many people in your army. And if I let you win with them, they're going to think they did it and they're going to forget about me, meaning God. And so he said, and I love this, anyone, this is the first cut in the army. Anyone who is afraid, has any qualms at all, can leave and go home. Now, I think that's fascinating that the first cut is done on the basis of fear. And the reason I say that is because the most frequent command in the Word of God is this: fear not. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. You know, don't be afraid. That's the most frequent command. And God always is telling Joshua, he's telling all these Bible heroes, don't be afraid. He says that to us today, to our listening audience. Don't be afraid, turkey.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It's so, it's so true. Jesus to Peter and the disciples in the boat.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. His last night on earth, just when they were at the garden, when Jesus was in John chapter 16, do not fear,
I've overcome
the world.
Right.
You know, all through, from beginning to end, you're right, Pastor, it's do not fear.
Do not fear.
And yet here, he was weeding out the fearful. And there's a principle behind that, too,
yes.
Because Well, I mentioned it when we were talking about the prayer ministry. Everybody needs to be on the same page.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And if you're fearful,
right,
you're not really on the same page.
Right.
You know, because, okay, you're not going to be able to stand.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got fear, you're likely to fall.
Right.
And God said, okay, let's just...
Let's get rid of...
Let's take it out.
When the angel came to the Virgin Mary...
Don't fear.
Don't be afraid. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We could go on and on with examples all through the Word of God where the thing that is that cuts the mustard here is whether or not you're fearful or whether or not you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
You know, you realize that fear has a lot of psychological effects that manifest themselves in physical ways too.
Okay, speak about that.
Well, you know, we always fear what might happen.
That's true. What if?
What if? And it's not, I mean, that is not necessarily, I mean, usually when the time comes for what we are afraid of, it's not as bad as we thought it was.
That's exactly right.
But the fear is so magnified that it causes physical manifestation in our bodies. I mean, ulcers and
upset stomach and
stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's all kinds of problems.
Heart attacks.
Heart
attack, yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Stomach trouble.
Well, I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The verse in Luke 21, men's hearts failing them for fear of what's going to come upon the
world.
That's
exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are living in a day and age where the movie theaters are full of crazy ideas about the end times, really. You know, about mm-hmm. what could happen and this monster and that situation and you know, on and on and on and on.
Zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, the zombie apocalypse and all that kind of craziness. And,
yeah.
You know, it's all about trying to generate fear. Because people that go to movies like that, they come out and they go, oh, that was a good movie. Oh, I was so scared. Oh, mm-hmm. You know, I've heard my own grandkids say, oh, yeah, that just scared me so bad. Really? You like that? You like to be that scared? You know? But you see, fear is the devil's tool to stop us in our tracks from being courageous and strong and being all that God wants us to be. And I find this, I'm not preaching or anything, I find this as exciting right now, knowing that the next song that we had planned is this one, Bobby. It is Whom Shall I Fear? It's right there, the next track, number 3. Let it, perfect timing. How Like God. Praise God. I love that song.
Yeah, me too.
Who sings that, Pastor Jim?
Chris Tomlin.
Whoa, what a great song. And that fit in perfectly to where we were in this story in Judges chapter 7. Wow. The God of angel armies is always on my side, so whom shall I fear? Nathan, don't you find it interesting that this first group of soldiers was cut by those who were fearful? 22,000. We start with 32,000 and 22,000 go home.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a lot of fearful people, you know?
That's true. That's true.
It's kind of like two-thirds. You
almost,
know, and,
yeah.
and it's almost like...
Exactly two-thirds.
don't we see this in our lives,
mm-hmm,
though?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't we see so many times that, you know, we are part of the minority that walk in faith and walk in courage? It's hard to be that on the front lines and not be afraid. But there were 10,000 here left that did not go home because they were afraid. They stayed,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on those guys?
Well, they apparently were the faithful ones. Maybe they got a hold of, of Gideon's vision,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "You know what? You know, we believe that God told you this. We believe it with all our hearts. Mm-hmm. We're sticking with you.
Right.
We don't doubt that God's going to give you the victory.
Right. And so here we are, and now we have 10,000 guys, 22,000 go home." And we're in Judges, chapter 7, verse 4. God says to Gideon, Gideon, you still have too many soldiers. What? I can hear Gideon going, what?
Yeah,
you
really?
Just sent 22,000 home. You leave me with 10,000 and you tell me that's too many? Can you see Gideon? I know I would be like Gideon going, are you kidding me there, God? That seems to me like we are just kind of cutting it real close as it is.
Maybe I should set out another fleece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, let's ask God again, right? Woo. Nathan, what do you think of this, how God is with that? I mean, what's this general principle? Because we've seen it in ministry. You and I have been in ministry together now for 11 or 12 years, Pastor Jim with us since 08, so however many that is, six?
Yeah.
Almost seven, okay. So, you know, we've been in ministry a long time, the three of us together,
mm-hmm.
And we've seen people come and go, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Sometimes it's kind of painful.
But the few that remain are strong,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and God is with us.
Amen.
You know, he said, where there are two or three of gathered in my name, there I am in the midst.
Right.
And if God is with us, who can be against us?
Right. That's exactly right. And God has plans. Generally speaking, he has plans to get a whole lot done with a very few people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always why, PJ.
So he can get the glory.
So he gets the glory.
That's right.
It's
that's
all about
right.
him getting the glory, not us. Because he doesn't want us going, wow, we had such a big, huge army, mm-hmm. and we did mm-hmm. this, and we did that.
Well, yeah, or look, you know, I have such a huge, you know, look at my huge church, or look at the number of mm-hmm. healings.
Right.
And I think some people turn that around, you know, look at the number of healings at my hands. No, you just mm-hmm. happen to be the vessel.
Right, that's exactly mm-hmm. right.
You know, we have to be, I mean.
Absolutely.
Well, pride.
Pride, that's
it's,
pride.
It's all matter.
That's
it's pride. All a matter of pride, and God wanted to make sure that none of the Israelites could take pride in what he
in
was.
In what they did.
Yeah, in what they did. In what they did.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Exactly.
And you know,
and he still works with those same principles today.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he really wants it to all be him, and because people are not drawn. I mean, okay, they're drawn to God because of his power and his ability, and God does not want it to be that people are drawn to a person. He wants them mm-hmm. to be drawn to God himself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In the prophets, he says, and I believe it's in Isaiah, I will not share my glory with another.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, our pride. I mean, what the original sin of pride by the devil, by Satan.
Right.
Was he wanted, you know, he was
that's true.
He was the choir master of
right,
heaven.
Right.
And that that wasn't good enough.
Right.
What he wanted was the worship that God was getting.
He wanted people to bow down and worship him. And don't you see that in human nature?
Oh yeah.
We have that within us that we want attention. You know, attention seeking.
Oh yeah.
Stuff. I mean, we've seen that for years in the ministry, haven't we? I mean, people that, you know, their motives are a little wrong for why they want to do this or that in the church.
Things. Right, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Nathan?
And they may not even be talented in that area.
Right. But it's a matter of people.
It's a matter of getting attention.
Getting attention, people noticing them. And mm-hmm. So God says, you know what? I know people are like this. I know humanity's like this. I'm not going to let this happen. So, you know what? 10,000 people, too many. We're going to mm-hmm. do another cut. I love this. The second cut is, to me, fascinating.
Yes,
because God says to Gideon, take your people, all your soldiers now, all 10,000, down to this brook or this lake or whatever it was, to the stream. I don't know. It says in the Message Bible. What's it say in yours? Do you know where it was, PJ?
No, I don't know which river it was. But,
okay, so a river.
It doesn't list it. It just says down to the water.
Okay, down to the water.
And I'll test them there.
So God was going to do another test. Now, mm-hmm. that begs a question before we talk about this particular test. Does God test people?
Yes, he does.
I agree.
Me too.
I don't think people want to hear that, though, Pastor Jim.
Well, but he does.
He does, yeah.
Well, and it's not so much, and I've said this before, I believe, even on the radio show, it's not so much so that God will know what's in our hearts. Because
mm-hmm.
he already knew what was going to happen with, say, Abraham. Because that was a test. The Bible clearly says God tested Abraham.
Took Isaac up to the mountain.
Take Isaac up, and, mm-hmm. and he said to kill his only son.
Right.
And God knew. It's not like God was, God, I wonder what he'll do. I wonder what I hope he's faithful.
Right.
You know, God knew that.
Because he sees ahead and knows.
Right. But he tests us so that we know what's in our heart. Because Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful.
Yeah.
Above all things.
Right.
We can think our heart's right, and yet let God throw a little test in there.
Mm-hmm.
And boom.
All of a sudden we see a nasty attitude show up.
We come face to face with what our heart really looks
like.
Yeah.
What's really in our heart, yeah.
Exactly. And it's...
Hard times bring out attitudes.
Yeah, and now there's a difference, though. Remember James wrote, God doesn't tempt us to sin. That comes from only one place, and that's the devil.
That's right.
But God will test our hearts.
That's it.
He
it's
may
different.
Ask us to do something. He may put a situation in front of us where, say, we have the opportunity to have a good attitude or a bad attitude.
Right.
And he's going to show us what's really, because Jesus said, what comes out of your mouth is what's already buried in your heart.
Amen.
Exactly. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Uh-huh.
And so when we are going through a difficult time and it becomes a testing moment, God is seeing how we're going to react. And unfortunately, a lot of times, we don't react so well. It's not so pretty. You know, again, we're human. But in that testing time, God wants us to see our heart, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want it just to be something he's looking at. He wants us to see, yeah, wow, I was courageous during that moment. Or, whoa, I was full of fear. And because I'm full of fear, that's sin, and worry is sin, and I repented that, and I'm sorry, God, and I thank you for showing me that that was in my heart, and I don't want to be like that anymore. Talk to me, Nathan.
Well, there are times in my life that God showed me that I wasn't where I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I was so spiritual and so high and haughty and mighty and all that kind of stuff. And God just threw a test my way and showed me that I wasn't what I thought I was.
Right. Right.
And I was glad. I was grateful. I really was. And I mean, I'm always grateful when God shows me where I am in him.
And then when he shows us, we got to have backbone and courage enough to step up to the plate. Does that sound familiar,
right,
guys?
That's right.
To say, okay, God, I will repent of my fear, my worry, my doubt, my pride, whatever it is, I'm sorry. You know, Pastor Jim, it is so hard for people to say, I'm sorry. You know, do you know what I'm saying? It so often we are, you mentioned the word pride a minute ago, and I think that is so human nature that we don't want to be wrong. So when somebody says, wait a minute, that was a nasty attitude you had, we have a hard time saying, you know what, you're right.
Yeah, we tend to want to justify ourselves.
Oh, we defend ourselves.
Wait a minute, but I did that because they did this, or, you know, we want to justify ourselves. But you're right, it's humbling to say, I'm sorry. It's humbling to say it to God. It's humbling. It's humbling to say it just to some other person.
Humbling to say, my bad.
Yeah.
My bad. You know? Yep.
My rotten.
My rotten, bad attitude. You know, it's a thing with parents so often, it seems like in this generation, that it's the concept of every kid gets a trophy. You know, everybody doesn't want anybody to have hurt feelings. So instead of pointing out to a child, you know what, that's not okay, that attitude you just had. So often, it seems to me in this generation now, we have parents who don't face a kid's addiction, let's say, or something that a kid is doing at age 10, and then you get it to age 16, and it's almost a lost cause. This happened to somebody I know this weekend and in Indiana, and I won't go into details, but this person really needs to be locked up to get some help for drugs. And it's not in my immediate family, but somebody I know. And instead, the family is just kind of whitewashing the whole situation. And as a result, I mean, you can see the handwriting on the wall. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Do you understand, Nathan, what I'm trying to say here about understanding when we are full of fear, worry, whatever, that we need to repent of that?
Yes. Yes. Because fear is not from God.
Right. Never is.
It's a tool of the enemy to cause us to stumble and fall whenever we're trying to do the will of God.
Right. Right.
And also, I like the acronym, false evidence appearing real.
I do too. That's F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Talk about that.
Well, like I said before, often the thing that you're so afraid of or worried was going to happen doesn't happen.
Right.
The enemy lies to you and say, if you do this, this is going to happen.
Right.
Not necessarily.
That's right.
You know.
But we're so afraid that it...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really think that one of the biggest weapons Satan has in his arsenal is fear.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And I find that is very interesting, that two-thirds of this army of Gideon was eliminated just because they were fearful.
Not because
they weren't skilled warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't lame. They weren't blind. They could wield a sword and a spear.
They were just afraid.
They were just afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge for today, don't you think, PJ?
Yeah.
Nathan?
It's very big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do a whole show on this. We could talk five hours.
And I think, I mean, looking at it in symbolically of the church, those who are going to move ahead are going to be the ones who don't fear.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, well, Paul had to warn, you know, tell Timothy, just to remind you, Tim.
Right.
God's not given us a spirit of fear. Because apparently Timothy had some fears. He was maybe afraid to go on in the ministry.
Yes.
Maybe considering that Paul was probably writing Timothy very, very possibly from prison.
Right.
May not have, you know, Timothy may have been kind of shrinking back and not maybe. You know,
maybe thinking, I don't want to go to jail.
I don't want to go to prison for this.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Then Paul reminded him, God's not given us a spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we need to remind ourselves of that, because it's the ones who don't fear that are going to be the ones that move on.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 1:7, put it in your arsenal of scriptures. But God says through Paul, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Woo! We're approaching the hour. We got to do station ID in just a couple minutes. But Nathan, are you getting off the air at 4?
Yes.
Okay, so do you have some final words from all this that you've been talking about today, this morning and today on the show?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Nathan.
Oh, my goodness, yes. God is a good God.
Amen.
And he always goes before us.
Amen.
He surrounds us with his peace. And he says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
And that's because he's God.
That's right. That's right.
And he takes care of us. He goes to battle for us.
Amen.
And the battle is his, not ours.
Amen.
And he gets the glory because he always wins.
Woo! Praise God. We love you, brother. You're an amazing man of God. What a good morning we had at church, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. It was awesome.
And
awesome.
We are getting ready to make some changes in the ministry. We're already in the process of that, and we talked about it in a meeting today. But after 13 years, we're starting our 14th year in the ministry in September. We are changing our format. We are keeping this radio show. We're also adding another one, which I will talk about on another day. It'll be a drive time show. But we'll talk about that another day. But we are keeping this radio show. We've been doing this 7 years. We're in our eighth year on the air. We love this radio ministry. We love it. We love it. The Sunday morning service that we've been having and the Wednesday night are going away. We're stopping that. And we're entering a new day for a Friday night Bible study. Pastor Jim, I'm excited about the Friday night format.
I am too. And like I said, it's just going to be different. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good difference.
Yes, definitely.
It's going to be an exciting point during our week, each person's week. And we've just found through the years that attendance on Sunday mornings and even on Wednesday nights has slipped, and people have other commitments and work-related issues, and work schedules now include Sundays for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So, come September 1, Beacon of Hope Ministries in that department of Sunday morning, Wednesday night will not look the same, but we will have a great rally every Friday night, Bible study, a rally.
I like that, a rally.
Rally round, here we come.
Oh, yes.
We're going to do some worshiping, we're going to do some teaching the word in an excited format. We'll be talking about that more later. Brother Nathan, thanks for being on the air. We love you. Station ID, here we go.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back. This is Living the Good Life on this station, 1340 AM. And it's also on the website, the Tan Talk website, www.tantalk1340.com. And if you're listening on the radio station and want to switch over to your computer, you can do that, tantalk1340.com. Also, we are so blessed to be able to podcast these shows and to have them up on our website, bohmglobal.com, by Monday of each week. So, Pastor Jim, we have how many on our website now?
Radio shows? 300-ish.
Yes. What's happening on November 23rd of this year, Pastor Jim?
We will be having our 400th radio show.
400. 400. 4 is a number for worldwide evangelism and outreach. I find that interesting. We're going to hit the 400th show on November 23rd, which is the weekend before Thanksgiving, I believe.
Yes.
And so we will have a big Thanksgiving celebration that day, and probably a party here at the station. And we're going to really celebrate our 400th show. So that's coming November 23rd of this year, 2014. And we're excited about all that God is doing. We just mentioned some changes with our format, but we are continuing on with this radio show. We're going to add another one. And we're just doing some new things in the ministry, continuing with our prayer ministry, and continuing to reach out. And really, Pastor Jim, going outside our walls.
Right.
To reach people where they are. And we, on our website, if you go there, we also have it now formatted for your smartphones, for your tablets. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
It is, because we tried it today, and it works.
It works.
It looks really cool.
It looks good. And so go to bohmglobal.com. That's capital B, capital O, capital H, capital M, global, BohmGold.com. I think you can do it without capitals, too.
Right.
And check it out, BohmGlobal.com. And you now that the new formatting for your smartphone, your tablet, and your iPad and all that kind of stuff is there. It's Maxine, our webmaster up in Georgia, has done this for several churches, and so she did it for our ministry here. So we're excited about that. So go check it out, BohmGlobal.com. And, you know, Pastor Jim, we don't say much about money ever, but we would welcome some new financial partners as we move forward into the new phase of the ministry that God is taking us in. And people can become a partner by going to PayPal, right?
Exactly,
on our website.
On our website.
You know, it's easy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Get your debit card, whatever.
Right. You just go to our website, and there's a donation tab, and just
Maxine actually got me a PayPal contraption for my smartphone, and I haven't even brought it to church yet. But I can use that, and people can use their debit card. It's just kind of weird, though, coming to church with a, you know, here, give me your MasterCard. You know, don't you think that's a little weird, Bobby? I don't know. Maybe I'm just old school. It's not weird to these young kids. Pastor Jim, it's just you and I
because we're so old.
Yeah, that's it. So anyway, but we welcome financial partners. Go to our website
right.
And give.
Yes. Amen.
Give. And because we have, you know, we're moving into this new phase and it requires funds like everything always does. And there's some people who always step up at the plate and others who don't. So time to do it. Mm-hmm. Step up to the plate and give, because this ministry is good soil. I did not mention that today, Pastor Jim. I probably should have. But tell them what we mean by good soil to plant your finances.
Well, we're soil where what you plant is going to produce fruit.
Right.
And, you know, whatever comes in goes toward, well, one thing, our mission, like the radio show, the second radio show that we're looking forward to doing, you know, just outreach to different various communities. We have a nursing home outreach.
Yes.
So it's good. It's a good place to plant, you know, your seed, because it has good return.
Right.
And it's important that, you know, if this is by chance your church,
right,
then, you know, it would be great if you could help, you know, help support us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because it's all about giving out the Word of God, and that's what this show is all about. Mm-hmm. It's all about giving the Word of God consistently. The Friday night Bible study will continue in that same vein that we've always been at Beacon of Hope, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It takes courage to move into a new day, Pastor Jim. We're excited about that. So we've got to play that song by Casting Crowns, Courageous, and it is a great one. Here we go.
Chains. We were made to be courageous.
Not me.
Praise God. That is one of my all-time favorite songs by the group Casting Crowns.
Great song.
Because it goes so along with what God's been doing in us here at Beacon of Hope Ministries. You're listening to Living the Good Life. If you just joined us on our second hour from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I love that song because there's this line that I wrote down again. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands.
That's your favorite line from that, from your favorite song.
It is, isn't it? I mean, it is, because we cannot stand in our own power.
No.
We stand kneeling before God Almighty in submission to Him. That's the only way we'll ever stand, is on our knees with lifted hands. In other words, I submit to you, God. Here I am, you know? Some of you have called in just now about the video feed. We are working on it. We think it's back okay now. You got it?
Not the video.
Oh, the video's not. Okay, the audio is back okay. We've been having a few issues today, but that's okay. We're working on it, and thank you for those of you that have called in. And we can you can also be able to listen to this show tomorrow, which will be on our website. There won't be any issues with that feed, hopefully. So, but back to Judges chapter 7, Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim here. Nathan had to go on down the road, and... whatever he was doing today. But that's okay. Pastor Jim, we love the story of Gideon. To refresh it for our audience, Gideon was given an army of 32,000, and then?
And then God said, okay, send home, because you're way too many, send home the ones that are fearful. So 22,000 of them left.
Exactly.
And so that was it. 22,000 walked away and went back home. And I just wonder if they, did they have misgivings? I'm pretty sure, well, because he would have had to say, any of you that are fearful, go home.
Go home.
I wonder if any of them felt bad after that.
It could be, you know.
Or, you know, like, some may have felt relief, like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
They didn't know
you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Yahweh,
then.
That I didn't have
right.
to go.
And some of them got home, and their wives may go, what do you mean you came home? You know, I thought you were going to be in the battle for a few months. Golly, and here you're getting back. And but anyway, now the army's reduced to 10,000. Then God says, that's too many. We got another test. And we were talking in the last hour that God does test us. He does allow us to go through difficult times in our lives to see what we're made of. Mm-hmm. What is your character,
right,
if you will? That's how our character is proven through hard times.
In the furnace of affliction is how your character is proven.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, God will allow that. And, you know, some people think, well, God would, you know, once I got born again or once I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, once I got a hold of the faith message,
right,
all my problems were supposed to have disappeared.
It's not like that at all, is it?
Yeah, find that scripture for me. That's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
You know, we're tested by the difficulties we go through.
Absolutely. And so it's okay to go through these hard times. Now, we come to the second test. The first one was all the fearful people leave. They did. Now we're down to 10,000 people. Take them all to the brook. It says in Judges 7, about verse 5, God says, okay, let's see how all these 10,000 guys drink water. Fascinating to me. Okay, go ahead, y'all, get a drink. Can you just hear it? Go ahead, Gideon says, everybody get a drink. Let's see how you do it. And I'm thinking some probably are going, well, how are you supposed to do it? Do you know? I don't know. Well, let's just get a drink, you know? So, Pastor Jim, tell us what happened.
Well, God made another separation. And I actually heard it. I know we talked about this morning in church. I heard it slightly differently.
Go ahead. You go ahead and tell us how you heard it.
The way I heard it was, of course, those who lap like a dog, and either they were, like you said this morning, prostrate.
Laying down.
Or they gathered it in their hands and stood up and lapped.
Ah, okay.
Like, so, but the point is, either way, they were still watchful.
They were watchful.
The ones who knelt put their face down toward the water. They couldn't look around.
Right.
They couldn't see what was going on around them. They were like face down in the water almost. The other ones who lapped like a dog either gathered it in their hands and lapped it at, you know, standing up or being prostrate. But the point is, they were watching.
The whole goal was they were watching,
yeah,
and not just, you know, getting sidetracked and distracted, you know?
Even though they were taking care of their thirst, mm-hmm, kind of like what we mentioned way early in the show, they were still watchful.
Right.
They were vigilant. And that's what God was looking for. And
right.
There were only 300 that were vigilant.
Right. Exactly. So now you go from 32,000 to 10,000 to 300.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems overwhelmingly scary.
Yeah, that's like less than 1%.
Less than 1% now are the ones that God has chosen to fight the Midianites. Now, if you didn't hear last week, go back and listen to last week's show. The Midianites were bad guys. The word Midian means strife and judgment. And the Midianites were a group of people that had totally destroyed Israel's crops. They had taken out their livelihood. Israel was reduced to slavery again, mm-hmm. For 7 years by Midian. And so now Gideon is raised up by God to be the guy who is going to conquer Midian. He's going to be the one. And God gives him only an army of 300 people. 300, by the way, in the Word of God, that is the number for complete deliverance. In the Word of God, you see this. So anyway, go ahead, Pastor Jim, with this. And Gideon now has got an army of only 300. And these are the 300 who laid down to drink water, kept an eye on the enemy.
Mm-hmm. They were vigilant.
And they were the chosen ones.
And I think it's funny, what just hit me, Pastor, is Gideon doesn't ask for any sort of sign, and yet God gives him another one.
Yes.
God gives him the final confirmation, because he tells him what to do. You know, it says, that same night the Lord said to Gideon, I'm in chapter 7, verse 9 of Judges, arise and go down to their camp, for I've given it into your hand. But if you fear to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down into the camp. So they, you know, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. So God said, okay, I'm giving you a freebie here. You go down, you listen to what they're saying.
Right.
You know, you sneak down to the edge of the camp, listen to what they're saying, and this will just make you even stronger.
God's perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
This is such an example of God's perfect timing.
Because Gideon and Purah sneak down to the edge of the camp, and there's two Midianites talking.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I mean, they just walk up to them at that exact moment.
They're at the back. I think they overheard them. They were in their tent talking,
mm-hmm.
right? And Gideon and the armor bearer, Purah, they sneak up and they're kind of listening through the tent.
Right. And it's just, they came at just the right time, because the one
perfect
says,
perfect timing.
I had a dream.
Yeah.
And in this dream, a barley loaf came bouncing into the camp, basically.
Right.
This is my paraphrase. And knocked over all the tents.
Uh-huh.
And the other Midianites said, well, who can that be except Gideon?
Right.
You know, we're doomed.
Right.
Imagine. I mean, they didn't know, obviously, that Gideon was outside the tent.
Oh, no. They had no way to
But
know.
It's just so cool that all of a sudden, wow. I was thinking this morning, Gideon had to feel really pretty good.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine how that would just boost your faith?
They're terrified.
Yeah, they're terrified. Whoa. They're afraid of us. Come on, let's go. Let's go get all the guys and let's go destroy Midian.
And you have to wonder, yeah, you have to wonder where that came from. Obviously, God, I mean, but I mean, the only major thing Gideon had done up to this point was knock over a statue of Baal.
Right.
You know,
he hadn't even proven himself on the battlefield.
Right, right.
But he never had to. It's so interesting.
Exactly.
He really didn't. He just had to be obedient.
Right, exactly. And so he goes back and he says, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Okay, so before we tell you what he's going to do, that leads us perfectly into the song on the other disc. I think it's number 3 on that other disc, Bobby. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Listen to this.
Success to show, no glory.
One of my favorite songs by C.C. Winans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his strength is perfect. He carries us when our strength is gone. And, you know, for some of you out there, you don't realize how this show comes together, but we sit here and are fascinated about how God weaves the teaching of where we are, what we're teaching, with the songs that he laid on our hearts earlier in the week, and that we bring in here and hand our engineer, now Bobby, who's doing a great job, by the way. Welcome to the show. And we don't know how it's going to fit in with the conversation, but it's so cool, Pastor Jim. It never ceases to amaze me how God blends the right song at the right time. And they're the songs that God gave us he was going to do, but we didn't know where we would be
right.
in
we
teaching.
Didn't know what we'd
had
be
no
saying.
Idea what how. And always God does this. God, you get the glory and the praise for that.
Amen.
I just love that. And here we have Gideon. We're at the place where Gideon has had another confirmation. He's gone down. He's listened at the back of the tent. And the guy has said, you know what? Gideon's going to defeat us. Right. But tell him about the dream with the barley loaf.
Well,
do you know where we are?
In
what verse, if people are following along?
It's in, of course, Judges chapter 7, verse 13.
Yeah.
And when Gideon arrived, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade, and he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, came to a tent and struck it so that it fell, turned upside down, and then lay flat. And I think, and then, of course, his friend in verse 14 says, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon.
He already knew.
This was a sign
that they were going to be defeated.
And somehow he got that revelation.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. It was a barley loaf. And
why is that interesting,
Well, there
Pastor
are several Jim? Different types of grain, of course.
Right.
The two most common in Israel are wheat and barley. And
okay.
barley is cheaper.
Okay.
It's less expensive. It's just not as good
right.
as wheat,
right.
as a loaf of wheat bread. But I think it's interesting that it was barley because remember early on, Gideon had all these issues about his own self-esteem, how he
right.
saw himself. Well, I'm the runt of the litter. I'm from the tiniest little tribe.
Right.
I'm not up to this.
Right.
Who am I that you should pick me,
right.
Lord? And
right.
I think just it was a special confirmation to Gideon because it wasn't a loaf of wheat bread. It was barley, an inferior loaf of bread came into the camp, and it was still recognized as Gideon.
So can we say that God will use us no matter how inferior we might feel?
Exactly.
No matter how many times we argue with God and say, I'm not adequate for this task. Or God, you mean me? Are you going to use me like this? And believe me, I've asked that question a lot, especially lately.
And I'm thinking Moses. I'm slow of tongue.
Well, you know, and I didn't mention this morning in the sermon, but God started Joshua leading Israel when he was 80 years old. Started Moses leading Israel when he was 80 years old. And I'm not near that, so praise God. But still, you know, that is so cool that God is not saying, you're too old. I'm going to go with, you know, a 20-year-old or whatever. Our society always goes with the younger. But, you know, there's a lot of wisdom wrapped up in some of these gray hairs that we have here, Pastor Jim. Yeah.
Yes, and I have more.
I'm speaking about your gray hairs, not mine.
I was going to say, I've got more than you. But it's true.
Right.
It's very true. And I just think it's interesting because God had to reveal this to them, you know, to the Midianites.
Right.
Somehow they knew. At least this guy knew, this is serious. Our days
right.
are numbered.
Our days are numbered. So what did they do? They take action and... you know, it's so interesting that God does not say to Gideon, you know, well, go ahead and just take a break and take a vacation here and we'll think this over again.
Well, and I like the first thing Gideon did in verse 15.
Yes.
When he heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation.
Yeah.
He returned to the camp of Israel, or he worshipped and then he returned to the camp of Israel.
Yeah, he went to his knees before God in prayer. I like that.
Yeah, the first thing he did, he worshipped God.
Yeah, did that first.
It's like, Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you for talking to
thank
me.
Thank you. You gave me another confirmation. I know now what I need to do.
Right.
Then he went back to the camp of Israel and he said, it's done.
Yeah.
God's given us the camp of Midian.
Right. Time to go.
Time to go.
Let's go. And he doesn't sit around. He says right here in verse 15 of Judges 7, get up. He's talking to all his 300 guys now, not 32,000. So he's talking to his 300 and he says, get up and get going. God has given us a Midianite army. And now in verse 16 of Judges 7, he divides the 300 men into three companies and gave each man a trumpet and an empty jar with a torch in the jar. I love this standard military equipment. It is so not an Uzi. It is so not a great big whatever rifle. My son would be able to tell you what kind of rifle that was, but I would not. But, okay, so it's not anything like that.
Well,
it's not even like David used a slingshot and a stone.
Right. I've got amplified. And just in skipping down to verse 20, it talks about having the torches and the trumpets.
Yeah.
And there's a little parenthetical note, leaving no chance to use the sword. Both their hands were going to be full.
Oh, that's great.
They didn't even have a chance. They couldn't have used the sword if they'd wanted to. Unless they all grew like a third arm or something.
So God wasn't even going to do it. The standard way to do it with a sword, with a spear.
Right.
Instead, he had another plan, and it did not involve that kind of thing because he had a plan to destroy all the bad guys, but in such an unusual way.
Yes. Yeah, and he gave them...
I love it.
Yeah, he gave, you know, this was Gideon's instruction. Got a torch. You're going to put a pitcher. And I think what they might have done was put a little hole in the pitcher bottom.
Yeah.
And put the torch down inside the pitcher. That would prevent the light from going out, but it would still let the flame burn. That was in their left hand, and their right hand was a trumpet.
Yeah.
And can you imagine 300 of these? And they would blow the trumpet.
Yeah.
You know, this was the instruction, and I may be getting ahead of you, but
he
divided them into three companies. So
100, 100, 100.
100, 100, 100, probably in, you know, each of them took a third of the camp, and they surrounded it in the darkness.
Right.
It's still dark, obviously. Right. So they surrounded it in the darkness.
What a tactical, wonderful tactical move,
well,
you know.
Talk about a surprise. They blew the trumpets, 300 trumpets blowing toward a center direction
right.
at once.
Right.
And then they broke the jars that were around the torch.
Right.
So all of a sudden you see 300 torches around your camp.
With the trumpet. They broke them with the trumpet. So I find that fascinating, too. They take the trumpet and break the clay pot with that.
And I'm thinking the noise of the trumpet.
Yes. And then suddenly the fire.
The fire all around. It's like, and it, you know, it says the whole camp was thrown into confusion.
Right.
And, well, it says in verse 22, when Gideon's men blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every Midianite sword against his comrade and against all the army, and the army fled as far as Beth Shittah toward Zeruah, as far as the border of Abel Mehalah by Taboth.
We're glad you can pronounce all that, Hebrew scholar.
I almost need my glasses. The print on this Bible is kind of small.
Wow.
But the point is, what happened is, they were thrown into confusion. They turned on each other.
They turned on each other.
And the remnant that was left that somehow escaped.
Right.
You know, to talk about where they fled to. But they turned on each other. The army just pretty much killed themselves.
Yeah, they did. Only God could have engineered all that.
Mm-hmm.
So God knew that a surprise tactic, one involving fire, one involving the sound of the trumpet. And I talked about this morning. I love the fact that God did this. Because in Revelation, it says that at the last trumpet sound, you know what verse that is in Revelation?
Well,
go ahead.
1 Corinthians 15.
And it says in 1 Corinthians 15.
1 Corinthians 15,
that's
51.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in a moment in the twinkling of an eye,
yes.
the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised imperishable.
Right.
And then, in of course, in Revelation, I mean, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last trumpet.
Right.
We have a series of trumpets in the book of Revelation. And oddly enough, just before the seventh one is sounded, an angel proclaims that now is the mystery fulfilled. And God said, or Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery.
Yeah.
We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
For those that are alive when Jesus comes back, that's what happens.
Going over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what's going to happen is, you know, at the last trumpet, whenever that happens to occur, we will be raised.
Yeah.
And this mortal puts on immortality. Our perishable bodies become imperishable.
Right.
Ooh, I love those. You know, Nan's listening. Those are my favorite, some of my favorite
verses.
There you go.
She notes our favorite verses, but so true, but so important that the trumpet is used here to sound the alarm, so to speak, and to notify the enemy camp that, hey, we're here, meaning the people of God, Israel. Israel is there, but they're there with only 300 of these guys. They're there with three companies of 100. And they could have been there with 32,000, and it would have been a bloodbath.
Right.
It would have been, instead, it's Midian fighting themselves, and Israel did not have to wield the sword.
Yeah.
So fascinating to me.
And, you know, we talked a little bit this morning about the trumpets. In Numbers chapter 10, God commands that two silver trumpets be made. And, I mean, apart from those two trumpets, they normally would use the ram's horn, the shofar. And, you know, the trumpet in Scripture sounds the alarm.
It does.
Sounds the call for an assembly. Sounds the call for repentance.
And mention what you did this morning about the trumpet and the children of Israel. Said something about the trumpet telling them to break camp?
Right. You would use the trumpet sound in... Talks about in Numbers chapter 10, to break camp, to set up camp.
Right.
You know, it was all done to the sound. Because, think about it, you mentioned just how that musical instrument was used. That's...
such a clear sound.
Then that's the reason why I think it was the trumpet rather than the harp. I'm thinking of the instruments they had, or the tambourine.
Right.
The trumpet has a clear, piercing signal.
Yes, it does.
Whether it's the silver trumpet or the ram's horn, it has a clear, piercing signal and that can be heard quite a ways off. So that's makes it the best instrument.
It really does, because you said the harp. I mean, look what happens when our soldiers come back from battle and they are laid to rest at Arlington or someplace like that. There is taps that's played.
Mm-hmm. On the trumpet.
On the trumpet. It's not played on a... keyboard, and it's not played on a drum set, and it's not played on a saxophone. It's played on a trumpet for a reason. The trumpet has that clear sound that just resonates out across the airwaves amazingly. And there's no doubt when you hear that. I mean, most Americans, when they hear taps played, they cry.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're moved emotionally, right? When at the, like John F. Kennedy. I remember that as a teenager, at his burial. And so many, that's that sound that, you know, we hear that just signals something very important has happened, you know. And so that's what happens here with Gideon. Something very important has happened, and he sounds that alarm with his trumpet. And then I think all 300 started in on that same whatever it was.
Well, and like I
and
said,
what melody it was.
Imagine if you were in the center of the Midianite camp.
Right.
And you were surrounded by all those trumpets. I mean, it's enough to imagine being one trumpet and you're pretty far away. I mean, you know, we know how loud that can be.
Right.
Well, 300 pointed in toward one spot.
Wow.
That must have been deafening. Seriously.
It probably
must have
was.
Been
Think
deafening.
About that. Yeah.
And then if that didn't shake them up enough, then all of a sudden, boom, there's all these lights just out
all
of nowhere.
All that fire.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Woo. I've got to take us back to 2 Corinthians. I mentioned it this morning. We did not actually go there, but I'm going to take us there now. In 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, if you'll go there with me to chapter 4, I believe it is. This is Paul writing, and he talks about the earthen vessel. This vessel that contained that fire was like a pottery, a piece of pottery. When I grew up in Central America as a missionary's kid, we had all of our water in these, what we call cántaros, and it was a clay pot, and the clay pot was used to house the water and keep it cool. And it had a certain look about it. Is it 2 Corinthians chapter 4? I believe it is. I just turned past it. And Paul talks about, we have this. Yeah, here we go. In verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in the Message Bible says, Paul says, if you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. I love that. If you just look at us, you might miss the brightness. And with these guys that had the torch of fire in each of those pots, just to look at those guys, the fire was hidden inside the pot. Okay? And you didn't see the fire till after the trumpet was used. That's praise and worship, to break that ordinary pot to release the fire.
Fire
is symbolic of the Holy Spirit within us. So I love this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says, remember, I love this, if you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. And then the next line goes right along with the story of Gideon. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us.
Mm-hmm.
Same concept here.
Exactly. It's exactly what God told Gideon.
Gideon. Well, as he was defeating Midian.
I was going to say, actually, he kind of did tell Midian that.
Right. These are just ordinary people who have fire inside their clay pots. We're clay pots, people. Everybody getting this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We are those clay pots. Those unadorned, not fancy, just basic pots.
And I have to go on and read the next couple of verses.
Please do.
Because we sang them this morning.
Oh, we did.
We are troubled on every side.
Yeah, we
yet
did.
Not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
Ooh, praise God. Yes, we did. In the Trading Our Sorrows
song.
Yeah,
but that goes right along with it, you know.
Yeah.
Here was Gideon, who was, the Israelites were troubled on every side.
Right.
They had, if it wasn't the Midianites, it was the Philistines. If it wasn't
somebody
the Philistines,
else, always
it was the
after
Moabites.
Them. Yep.
And yet, they're not distressed, they're perplexed, but not in despair. They would wonder, what's going to happen? When is our deliverance going to come? Persecuted, obviously, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And that's kind of how Gideon was. You know, he felt pretty cast down. I mean, he saw the angel. He said, okay, first of all, I should be dead for seeing you.
Yeah, right.
Then he, tried.
That was in Judges 6.
Judges 6, and he tried to discount who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he maybe got an idea eventually of, and I have to wonder, did he catch on to this? Oh, yeah, clay jars, holy, fire, Holy Spirit.
Probably.
Because he was a clay pot, a simple,
yeah,
unadorned clay pot. A barley loaf and a clay pot.
Yes. Oh, he was. Which, doesn't this take us to Romans 8? Because it has to. Oh, my. I love the way Paul talks about this in Romans 8. With God on our side, verse 31, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? In other words, Midian, you really stepped into it here, Midian, by messing with God's chosen people. You really did. And Paul's talking about who would dare tangle with God by messing with God, one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us. And he goes on and he goes, do you think anyone's going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? That fire is symbolic of God himself. He showed himself to Moses in the burning bush, right?
Mm-hmm.
He burnt up the sacrifice in Judges chapter 6. God himself did that and showed his power by the fire. And so here we are, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst list. None of this can faze us because Jesus loves us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our master, has embraced us. Oh, my. Talk about that before we go to the next song, Pastor Jim. Wow.
Nothing can separate us from God's love. And, you know, and he says, I love verse 37, and all these things were more than conquerors. It doesn't matter what is ranged against us.
It matters not.
No. It doesn't matter at all what the enemy throws at us.
Right.
Because we're more than conquerors. I think literally, let me see if the Amplified says, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory.
Yes.
Through him who loved us.
Amen.
It's not just a victory.
Right.
It's a surpassing victory.
Woo.
It's not that we defeat the enemy. We utterly wipe them out.
We wipe them out. And which is what happened with Midian.
Exactly.
They destroyed each other. So all we have to do is rest in God's great love for us, just like Gideon had to do. Mm-hmm. Move forward with the battle plan, whatever it is.
Right.
Get God's will for your life, follow through with it, and become, wow, that light in the darkness. Oh my, we are going to play this song that is guaranteed, Bobby, to make Pastor Jim cry. So we love it. You Raise Me Up.
shoulders, you raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life without its hunger. Each restless heart.
Praise God. That's what he does. Our wonderful, amazing God. He raises us up to more than we can be. In our own strength, we don't have it. We can't do it. We got to get his plan for our lives, whatever that may be. Gideon got the plan, then he got some confirmations of the plan. And then he moved forward, doing it God's way. You don't see Gideon arguing with God at all about the fact that he reduced him from 32,000 to 300 guys, do you, Jim?
No, you don't.
And you were crying, by the way, on that song, weren't you? That's just a great song, isn't it? What does that do for you in all this subject here?
Well, for me, the song is all about dependence on God.
Amen.
And letting him do the exalting, the raising up, and letting him be my strength, the one who carries me when I need to be carried.
Yes.
And Gideon found, Gideon did that.
Right.
He let God carry him when he needed to be carried. And you're right. I didn't think of it till you said it. He didn't argue with God. What in the world do you mean?
Right. You don't see any of that in this story.
Send 22,000 of them home? Are you nuts?
Mm-hmm. No, you don't see any of that. You see submission.
Yeah. He had his confirmations.
Yes. Right.
He was ready to move on, and he believed what God said.
Right.
I'm not sure I could have done that. I mean, especially when it got down to 300, I would have been a little shaky.
Right.
But even then, he didn't.
He just submitted to God's plan.
Yeah.
And this is my life story, especially in the last few months, as you know so well, everything I've been sharing with you. Submitting to the plan, the perfect plan of God for our lives, takes courage, mm-hmm. and it takes strength. We've been teaching about Joshua, what the definition of being strong and courageous. Be on your feet. Be observant. Be ready to move. Be willing to submit to what God has for you to do. We see that in the life of Gideon. Gideon did not, he didn't miss a beat. He asked for confirmations, but I like that because he's human.
Mm-hmm.
And God did not put him down or say, no, let me teach you a lesson here. Don't you dare ask me for confirmations.
And then he gave him a freebie.
And then he gave him another one. Yes. The one behind the tent.
Yeah.
So you see how God moved in Gideon's life, and we need to trust God. I love the fact that God did not use spears and swords to beat the Midianites. Not at all. You don't see that at all. They killed each other with their own swords, but Gideon and his 300 men didn't do any kind of warfare that we would think as warfare. They did. That's why I love the trumpet, because the trumpet is symbolic of praise, and it's symbolic of worship, and it's symbolic of that call to arms, you know, that call for action, you know, and the trumpet announces the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so here, go ahead.
And just hit me when you said that. What sound was on Mount Sinai? when God came down in Exodus chapter, 18, mm-hmm. before he gave the Ten Commandments,
right.
it said, you know, it was a trumpet blast and it just kept getting louder.
And the people
and
were
louder,
like, what is that?
And louder. And the people were scared to death.
Right. It was a trumpet.
Right, exactly.
So God has used trumpets over and over again, that clear sound, okay? So as we realize that God can invade our space, change our circumstances, and give us his plan for our individual lives, dear listeners, this applies to you, not just me and Pastor Jim here in Beacon of Hope. It applies to every single one of us who will say, okay, God, what is your plan? Mm-hmm. Does your plan involve a trumpet and a clay vessel, which is just me, and the fire of the Holy Spirit, which is inside me? I kind of think it does. I think this is prophetic for our ministry right now and for others out there. That trumpet is praise. That trumpet is sounding the alarm mm-hmm. and letting Satan know, no way, we're not going down for the count. We're not a beacon of hope. Just because we're changing some things does not mean we're going down. We're not going down at all. We're getting stronger. Mm-hmm. We're getting leaner and meaner. You know,
good
we
point.
Are. We're trimming the fat and we are taking away some of the expenses we had that were not profitable. And we are becoming all that God has called this ministry to become. With me personally, with you personally, Nathan and all the other people in this ministry and our regular listeners, we want to do it God's way. We're not content to do it our way anymore. We're not, it's not business as usual. It is moving into the new day that God has for us. Gideon had a new day. He was chosen of God because I believe God knew he would be willing to follow his lead. And Isaiah 1:19, if you consent and obey, you'll eat the best of the land. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, even as odd as God's leading might have been for Gideon, first of all, he asked him, the very first thing he did after he saw the angel was basically commit an act of suicide.
Right.
Because he, you know, that the town where he was at, they worshiped Baal,
right.
a false god, and Gideon destroyed the statue.
Right.
And that was, you know,
That was pretty bad.
Pretty bad. I mean, he was very brave. I mean, he did follow what God told him to do. And then this whole thing with the 32 down to the 22,000 down to the 300. What trust?
Right.
And faith.
Right.
And yet that's, he did it without grumbling or complaining.
Yeah, you don't see any of that.
And he just obeyed.
Amen.
And
obeyed.
The blessing that happened was the rout of the Midianites.
Right.
You know, they were defeated. And what a lesson for us.
Absolutely.
Us at Beacon, us everywhere, all of
right.
our listeners.
Right.
If you are true, if you do just obey and trust him and walk with him, walk with Jesus, what we read out of Romans chapter 8 a little while ago is you'll see it come to pass.
Amen.
Nothing. You know, I love the way Paul says it. Who dares bring a charge against who? How dare you bring a charge
right.
against God's
Amen.
Elect?
Amen.
It is Jesus Christ who has made us righteous.
Amen.
So Woo. How dare you make a charge against
That's
us?
That's exactly right. Praise God. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in faith and prayer, and we ask you to move in our listeners' hearts as you have in Pastor Jim's and mine and Nathan's today, as we have taken this message to heart and realize we are those clay pots, and we realize that you lift us up out of our circumstances when we choose to trust you and obey you. And Lord, this is a people here that chooses to obey the living God. And so Lord, we ask in prayer right now for our listeners that you would move mightily in this message today in their hearts, cause them to take it to heart, cause them to realize that they can be lifted up above their circumstances and become all that you would have for them to become. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Wow. We're going to go back and play that song again. The one we just did in just a minute. I'll tell you when. The lift me up thing. Okay. In just a minute. We welcome you to a service. Right now, still for the month of August, we are in our space there at Drew and 19. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and you can find out where we are.
It has the best directions.
It's got the best directions. Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesday nights at 7. We are going to be going in September to a Friday-only format, Friday night Bible study. We don't know the location yet. We will advise you as soon as we have that information. But we are excited about what God's doing. This has been Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, Nathan, our worship leader, bringing you the Word of God this day on Living the Good Life. Let's listen to that song again as we go out today. He Lifts Me Up.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.